Thank you for tuning in to the On the Gold podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Hogan, and today is 5 in 5 Friday. And I understand.
Morning, Kev.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you, man? It's early in the morning, isn't it?
It definitely.
Well, you know, sometimes we just have to get it done when we can get it done.
That's right.
So you told me that you want to do the 5 in 5, and the last time you set me up with metal detecting questions. So
yeah.
where are we today?
Well, it's actually even better. So this 5 on 5 is on you. People have asked to give them a little background on you. So what I did was put together some questions that can allow you to go anywhere you want about your, you know, vision, your passion for mining.
Well, so, all right. I'll agree to that.
Good.
As long as you know that there may be some questions that I am contractually unable to answer.
Nice. Okay. Nice. Yeah. Give it the standard government ploy, right?
Exactly. Sure. Exactly.
Right.
All right. Okay. Well, let's jump into it.
Yeah. Let's jump in. You know, you've been a prospector, a miner, an industry professional for over 40 years. How did you get started and how have you been, how has it been through those 40 years in the industry?
Wow. That's a great question. Well, how I got started or where I learned about gold and really learned about gold was when I was just a little kid, and my family used to take these weekends and we would go out into the desert or go into different places. This is when I lived in Southern California. We would go out in the desert and spend the weekend out there, and I would just go traipsing around the desert. This was out around the Ridgecrest area, Ansburg Ridgecrest area, that area through there. And I saw this little dust cloud coming up, and I came up over this ridge, and there was this little cha-chunk, 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 and the guy was out there using an old bellows dry washer. I had no idea what it was. And I just stood there because I was just amazed. And I would take a few steps and get closer and closer, and he'd looked over at me and he acknowledged me. And so I got closer and closer, and he shut down. He started doing a cleanup. And I don't know, by this time I was about probably 6-7 feet away, and he had this old wash tub, and he was panning his concentrates, and he called me over and he said, "Come here, kid, take a look at this." And I walked over, and he had this pan, and he showed me the black sand in the pan. I went, "Oh, okay." You know, it's like, all right, whatever. Yeah. Not overly impressed at that point, but he swirled that pan and the black sand broke, and they just had this beautiful line of gold. Just this absolutely gorgeous line of gold.
Wow.
And he looked at me and he said, "Do you know what that is, kid?" And I went, I looked up and I went, gold? You know, I had an idea what gold was. And he says, "Yeah, but you know what else it is?" And I, "No, that's eternity."
Wow.
And I didn't even know what the word meant. I didn't know what the word eternity meant, but I just thought that was such a cool thing. And then when I started, I asked my brothers, I asked my mother about it, what's this eternity thing? What is this? And when I started understanding what eternity was, I realized that, gold as a noble metal is eternal. Mm-hmm. And that actually is what got me started. And that story goes on and on. And someday, we'll just sit down and we'll talk about that whole story, because I believe that person that showed me that ended up being one of my mentors later on in life. So I started really looking at gold, and I really got excited about it. It wasn't really a gold fever. It was just this, I wanted to learn. I wanted to see what this was, because here's something that at a very, very early age, I realized was eternal. That it has been here since the beginning of time, and it will be here long after we're all gone. And that kind of got me interested in things, and no, not kind of. I was absolutely completely wrapped up in it. So with that being said, as I got a little bit older, I asked my mother for a metal detector for my eighth birthday, and she said, "No, not going to buy you a metal detector." But what she did do was buy me a kit, a metal detector kit, and I put that kit together, and he just was fascinated, absolutely fascinated with it, that I could find her car from about a foot and a half away. I was amazed, but at the same time, I just thought in my head, this could do better. this right. could do better. And, you know, when you've got those kits like that, you can go in and you can play with different things. And this was the full kit where you got to wrap your own coil and you got to do all the other things. And I will say I probably took that thing apart and put it back together 40 or 50 times. And then, you know, as I got older, I just stayed in that. I just stayed with that. So, I mean, that was pretty much the start.
Right. But, you know, you've done all facets of mining, though. I mean, that you've done larger scale mining.
Oh, yeah.
Prospecting, you know, all those things.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is funny because over the last, I don't know, I would say probably the last 15 to 20 years, well, probably 20 years, there's a lot of people that just think of me as the detector dude. Because right. I do a lot of training seminars and I've taught a lot of people about metal detecting and so on, because I was fascinated. I've always been fascinated with the technology of that end of it and how all of that works.
Right. Right. But, you know, still the funny thing is, you know, you've talked about dry washing and, oh, yeah. and sluicing and dredging and panning. You actually have been, you know, not only in the professional side or the commercial side, but you're a prospector and a miner first.
Oh, absolutely. I am a prospector and a miner first, and it's all facets. And it's like you said, dry washing. I love to dry wash, but you know, I've been around the world prospecting and mining. I spent time in Ghana, West Africa on a commercial dredging operation that we helped initiate, back in, God, this was back in the really early 90s. So, you know, I've been to West Africa. I've done dredging projects there. I've worked on large scale mining operations. I've spent a lot of time underground, and I love being underground, to be honest with you. I mean, going underground and seeing that basis of how things came up and these different things like this has always fascinated me. And
sure.
then, you know, getting into the metal detecting side of it and doing all the different things. So, yeah. I mean, it's, I am a prospector and I am a miner, and I've done everything in prospecting from swinging a gold pan to running a Nessie, the big cutting wheel dredge. And
right.
that's more commercial, but anything from panning to sluicing to high banking to dredging to dry washing to fine gold recovery, tabling, everything.
Right. Well, and you talked earlier about, you know, gaining all that knowledge and learning. You know, I think your passion, at least from my interactions with you, is your passion has always been to teach others. Explain that passion.
I am a firm believer that you simply cannot keep what you are not willing to give away. I learned that when I was a little kid, and I have always been that way.
Mm-hmm.
So when I started really becoming successful prospecting and I started learning a lot of different things, and I had great mentors, I surrounded myself early on with people that were willing to teach. As I became better, I realized that, you know what, I've got this great amount of knowledge, but I'm not going to be able to keep it if I'm not willing to give it away.
Wow.
And I started training. I started teaching people at one point in time. Just on the metal detecting side alone, working with MineLab, I mean, one of the jobs that I did was dealer training and teaching dealers all across the United States on how to use the entire line of MineLab metal detectors.
Right.
And
right.
More importantly, at one point in Prescott Valley, when I lived up in Prescott Valley, we had the MineLab training center, and dealers would come in from around the United States, and also the public would come in. And I would hold trainings, and we'd go out in the field and different things. But when you walked in, you expected to see nothing but MineLab detectors. And that wasn't the case, because every detector that comes out, that, let's just say for gold prospecting, by any manufacturer, I immediately get my hands on that, because I understand that not everybody owns a MineLab detector and not everybody owns a Weitz, or they own a Fisher,
sure.
or this or that. I felt like my job was to understand how every machine works. And the more I know about the machine, the better I could help people with it.
Sure.
And that has always been a big goal for me. I mean, that understanding how everything works from every manufacturer. And I think some of that goes back to my oil field days. I was an NDT inspector, and with that being done, you know, my job was electromagnetic and gamma radiation inspection. And the technology it wasn't new, but it was changing. And there was an opportunity to embrace all of that change and also work with the company to help them create better equipment. And I carried that over into prospecting and mining, and especially metal detecting.
Sure.
Yeah, it was an opportunity to be able to say to any company that I was doing field testing for, this or that or whatever, even in my years with MineLab, to say, this works, but it could work better if you could do this.
Right. So kind of even in the technology, even in MineLab and other in the metal detecting industry, your thought was always, if we could just push the technology here, that would be, you know, a huge boon to the industry, because you were a detectorist.
Oh yeah.
And you always had that technology, and you were always trying to push that technology to get more. So, you know, I think that's really, at least, you know, you've mentioned it. Is that where you were kind of going with, especially in MineLab, pushing the technology?
I've always been about pushing technology, no matter what it is, because if it's good, it can be better. If it's better, it can be great. And if it's great, it can be superior to anything and everything that's out there.
Right.
And I think when I break it down to the simplicity of how that works, when a lot of times when a machine comes out, it can always be improved, because I tell you what, I'm going to use an example. When the original MineLab Exteriline came out, so you had the 30, 50, and 70. And the 70 was a good gold machine, and it was the first true digital detector or digital, it had digital processing in it.
Mm-hmm.
It was really good, but it could be better. And there was a handful of us that worked directly with the team in Australia. And what was great about it is that they implemented just about everything that we were talking about and created the 705. And the 705 went from being a good machine, or the 70 went from being a good machine to the 705, which was an absolutely great machine.
Right. Yeah. So, and that's great to create that next evolution of technology.
Yeah. And it's also in any of the testing that I've ever done with any of the companies, it's always been great. And forget about it just being metal detecting. Let's go back to just the simplicity of, or let's just put it into the category of anything. You know, when I'm given a dry washer to test, and I test that dry washer and I say, you know what, this thing works great, but we need to take care of this and this and this. And they implement those changes, and it goes a little bit better. And I'm not saying that I'm not saying in any way, shape, or form that I have all the answers. But when it's if I'm testing something and a couple of other people are testing something, and we all have our very specific items that we really want to have the company address, and they make those changes, and it goes from being a good unit to being a great unit, then yes, I mean, to me, that's very rewarding. Because now you as a prospector that's out there and a small scale miner, you buy this piece of equipment, you're going to be able to have better recovery with less effort and so on like that. So to me, that's what a lot of it has always been about. And
sure,
then on those sides, being able to teach people about some of that stuff.
Right. And again, the best technology is simple, right? So being able to create simplicity of the design, yet it has all that built in features and power.
Right. Right.
You know, and now you can train people more easily.
Absolutely. And, you know, and when we talk about training, it's across all the different boards, all the way across. And
exactly. You know, the thing about it is, part of this is, you know, learning technology, having technology is great. But, you know, the old thing is it always begins and ends with a pan.
Yeah, exactly. And when you say,
so you've got to have
that.
That
it's great that it starts, you know, the technology side of it's great, but there are good ways to gold pan, and there are better ways to gold pan, and there are absolutely lousy ways to gold pan.
Right.
But if I sit down with somebody sitting on the edge of the creek and put my toes in the water and I help them learn how to use a gold pan properly, that has helped, that will start them on their journey, because now they're seeing gold. Now they're getting to see this. Man, I've got people that I worked with 25, 30 years ago that are still calling me and still sending me pictures and just showing me the different things that they're doing as they've progressed. And that right there, that is one of the most rewarding things to me ever.
Well, that's the reward, right?
That
you teach without any reward, you know, wanting any reward, but really to have that feedback is the reward.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
Okay, so how many questions was that?
Well, I think we've been through three.
Okay.
So I think
we've blown the last 5 and 5 all to hell again. So,
well, of course, of course, you know, for many years now, been part of the GP, the Gold Prospectors Association of America team, kind of explain to people, you know, what's your role in the GPAA and more importantly, what's your vision, you know, your vision for the future.
My role is the executive director of development, which means anything that comes my way, I just jump into it. To me, the executive director of development is development and not just about developing ground or developing this or developing that. It's about developing people.
Right.
So this kind of goes hand in hand. What was my vision? My vision is to be able to help people become better prospectors and miners. And if we go back to the very beginning and I think about the one time that I was around George Massey, the founder of the Buzzard, around him, he said that there was three things that this organization should always concentrate on doing. Number one was assuring that we always had land for our members to prospect and that we would always get more land.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is that we would always keep the members informed about what was going on. And GPA has the two publications. And now with technology, there's the website, the social media sites, and so on like that. But the thing that stuck with me more so than anything else that he said, and I'm going to paraphrase this, is it's about members helping members become better prospectors.
Yeah, and that's the key.
Yeah, and I don't look at the just members helping members become better prospectors. I just simply say it is prospectors helping prospectors become better prospectors.
Yes.
Because there is a point where every prospector at one point in time will have the opportunity if they're doing it right and they're out there and they're doing things and they're progressing, there will always be that opportunity for a prospector to go to a small scale miner.
Right. Well, and I think part of it is as the GPAA expands their technical or, you know, the media and the electronic capabilities, it just makes it easier to make that connection. And I think the online mining guide that we've talked about before is really the embodiment of that, of the miners helping miners become better prospectors.
It is. To me, that is the greatest tool that we have ever created. I mean, the publications are great, but always know a publication is going to be a couple of months behind of what's going on because of print times and the whole nine yards. The actual GPA mining guide, incredible tool, but the online mining guide became this incredible tool crowdsourced by prospectors helping other prospectors. I have spent so much time working on the online mining guide and working with members and helping them understand it. And then, dealing with different parts of it and now I have access to it. You know, I have admin access, so I can go in and make changes and make sure that we have things that are straight and doing these different things. And to me, that has just been absolutely phenomenal.
Right.
It's crowdsourced. It's instantaneous information. If you're sitting there and you're looking at a claim and somebody's out there on that claim right now and they post a report or something, it pops up while you're sitting there looking at your computer and you'll see it. So it can be that fast. It's real time.
Right. Well, and kind of along that technology, the changes in technology and the speed of technology, you've recently updated your website to include some new some new technology. So kind of give people an idea of where you're headed, you know, okay. talking about your vision.
Okay. There's some of it I can talk about. There's other parts of it I'm not going to talk about right now because we've got some things that are in development. There was a conversation a while back about just doing some things. And Brandon and Greg have given me an incredible amount of leeway to be able to just like create different things and so on like that. Gold Trails was,
right.
you know, just an incredible thing, but you really have to look at it as far as like getting out to the mass media is an incredibly expensive, almost ridiculously priced thing unless you've got huge backing from major channels and so on like that.
Sure.
And I'll be honest with you. I mean, we never really shopped. We never really shopped Gold Trails out there because the industry and that part of the industry was looking for two things. They were looking for huge amounts of drama, and I'm not sure. knocking it because it is entertainment and it is entertainment and people do learn things. And I will tell you that some of those gold shows that have been out there have done a really good job about bringing people into the industry.
The ones
that,
you
know, the ones that look past that going, you know what, maybe I could do this. But Gold Trails was designed to just show people, you know what, you can get out and you can do this really, right. really simply. You know, oh, you need a classifier? Okay, let's get a chunk of chicken wire, whatever the hardware cloth, and a 1x2, and we'll make a classifier real quick. You know, so sure. here's the things that you do, you know, so on like that. But I'm starting to feel that TV is dead. I really mm-hmm. am. I really am starting to feel like that because if it wasn't, you wouldn't have almost every broadcast network in the world having streaming over having sure. network.
Yeah, that's yeah. absolutely.
So, yeah. So we can go down those roads, you know, the technology drive to go out there. A lot of people are watching all their content on YouTube. They're watching it on streaming. They're doing all of these other things. So the idea of buying an incredible amount of ridiculously expensive airtime or having to meet standards. There was one company that really wanted Gold Trails, but they wanted 26 episodes a season and seasons wow. are basically gone. But you know, we're talking about making 26 episodes plus being able to be in production to go into the next 26. So that means at that point in time that would have been the full-time job. It would have been sure. a full-time job. And quite frankly, all of us have other jobs that we truly, truly enjoy within the organization. I love helping people within the GPA. I love going out to the gold shows and doing seminars. I love just being out on claims and being able to help people. I with all of that said, and I'm sorry, this is a long way around the cup to get.
Yeah, back that was
to
a long handle. Way around the trail. Yeah, sure.
long way around the cup to get back to the handle. I had a website sitting there. And I wanted to do, I started talking about On the Gold and mm-hmm. creating this podcast and the structure of the podcast. It's not a radio show. God love those guys that do the radio. I got to tell you, Tim Grimes and that group, I don't know how Tim does it. I really don't. You know, yeah. that scheduled show every week, all of those people that are out there, I have an incredible amount of admiration for all of them. And I'm going to get Tim Grimes on this show because I want to talk to him.
Oh yeah.
About what it is that he goes through just to be able to put that thing together on a weekly basis. Yeah. So again, down another rabbit hole. But when I started thinking about doing all this, I didn't want to wait to build pages within the GPA website. I didn't want to wait to do all these other things. So I just took kevinhoagland.com, which has been there for a while.
Right.
And working with you and a few other people, we just created the website as basically a landing page. And to me, that's all it really is. KevinHoagland.com is a landing page because when you get there, the first thing you see is behind the mic, which is a link to the podcast. The right. next one is in the lens, which is a link to the Gold Trails, the GPAA Gold Trails TV YouTube channel.
Right.
And then the right. last link, and then the last one is about education, which Prospecting EDU is something that is I'm very, very passionate. I can take the rest of it, put it off to the side, but let's talk, you know, I'll just take a moment to talk about Prospecting EDU. My vision and my goal is that it will be a cross platform that will have the ability to give prospectors this incredible view into different people's YouTube channels, those people that are out there that are dedicated to helping people become better prospectors, a file service, and this, you know, this will be in the future, a file service that is broke down by state and by county to where you can have one spot where you can do research. And even if it's just nothing but a bunch of link pages and different things like that. So that is the, that's the big vision of how all of this works. And then I've got some other plans for the Prospecting EDU that I'm not, I can't talk about right now. I wish I could, but I just can't talk about them because it's going to take, the logistics are going to be incredible, but it is all about education. You know, KevinHoagland.com is not about Kevin Hoagland. KevinHoagland.com is a landing page to fuel my passion for education and helping people become better prospectors. That's all it is. So, I mean, there's really three links on it.
And of course, the final one is the GPA.
Yeah, exactly. You have podcasts, you have YouTubes, and then you have GPA.
And it's a work in progress, right? I mean, just like any other technology.
It will always be a work in progress. I also know that there comes a point where that, you know, where you start playing with it. If you think it's perfect and then you start looking at it and so on like that, you know, there comes a point where you just start going backwards instead of going forward. So, you know, that's where everything has to be timed out. Everything has to be looked at. And then as it progresses, the, you know, my real simple thing is, and I printed this up on a piece of paper. That hangs above my desk is where will we go tomorrow to teach today's prospectors? And that's it. I mean, that is every time I think about doing something on the website or anytime I think about doing anything, it's where will we go tomorrow to teach today's prospectors?
Right.
That's it.
Wow. That's, I mean, that sums it all up, doesn't it?
It does. You know what? We probably could have cut all of this out. You could have asked me one question. What is my vision? Where do we go tomorrow to teach today's prospectors? That's it.
Well, then it would have only been the one in five. You know, so
we've had that. That happen before.
I know. I'm just, you know, that really, you know, that, I guess that's a great way to sum up your vision too. And, it's been great as we've gone through kind of this whole process. You know, we've been friends a long time, but even in just talking, you know, I've learned more about your vision and your passion. I mean, you've stated in ways I've never heard. And I think it's been great that, you know, that the industry, you know, the miners in the industry really get to understand, you know, the passion that you have for teaching and your vision and how that all works out for the future. It's been a great podcast.
I think so as well. And to me, I like the idea of just being able to actually say some of the things that I've said. I just don't think about it. I just don't talk about a lot that I do. I just go out and I just do it. You know,
well, that's what miners, we just do it.
Yeah.
I mean, exactly. That you don't think about it or talk about it. You just do it. Mm-hmm. So it's good that people understand, though.
So my last word on this is exactly what I just said a moment ago. Where do we go tomorrow? When I wrote that, it doesn't say, where do I go tomorrow? It says, where do we go tomorrow?
Right.
So anybody that's out there that's listening to this, that has been in this industry, that has a great knowledge, please help other people. It really is. At the end of the day, and if you've never watched that smile on somebody's face when they found their first nugget, or they've seen their first gold in a gold pan, or they've done these different things that took them from this level to that level. You know, the guy that starts out with a gold pan and he's doing so well and he's learning about gold that now it's time to move to a sluice because now he can do this and he understands what happens.
Right.
You know, those are the greatest rewards that any of us could ever have that teach. And again, those that do do, those that don't, you know, those that can't teach. I like I said, I hate that.
No.
Because those that do do, and those that do teach as well.
Right.
And that's
our role.
Yeah.
That's our role as minors.
Yeah, it is our role. Right. And that means all of us. That means all of us with any level, you know, any right. level of expertise and anything that we can share with people, we should be sharing that with people. Because yes. again, as a firm believer of I will never keep what I am not willing to give away.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not giving away the 40 some odd years of experience that I've got in this industry and helping people become better prospectors and better miners, first off, I'm not living up to my own vision.
Right.
And I'm not living up to the vision of the founder of the GPAA.
Exactly.
I'm not living up to the vision of any of my mentors that taught me so much so I could go out and help others.
Right.
And that's really right. what it's all about. You can go out there and you can dig dirt, you can dig holes all day long. And you can get a little bit of gold. But if you want to get more gold, start helping people.
Right.
I truly believe that.
Kevin, this has been a great 5 and 5. It's been one of my favorites. I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. And next time you're going to set me up where it's going to be about me or something like that. I'm not going to say give me a heads up, but yeah, give me a heads up.
Oh, no way. No, not going to play.
All right, folks, I hope you enjoyed this episode of the On the Gold podcast and the Bushwhack by Kevin Bell on the 5 and 5 Friday. New episodes coming up soon. Remember to check out the prospectors.org and Aurora Mining Products.